Good afternoon. First off, I wanted to thank the healthcare workers. We toured a hospital this past weekend and just want to thank all the frontline workers for what they're doing to keep us safe. I remain committed to making decisions based on reliable data, the emerging science, and the advice of experts on my Governor's Solutions Task Force on how to best apply social distancing to slow the spread of COVID-19. Since we last briefed you, the state of Oklahoma has made significant progress in managing our PPE and our hospital capacity and the supply chain. We know that COVID-19 is affecting all Oklahomans in one way or another. We recently experienced the third death of COVID-19 in the state of Oklahoma, and our thoughts and prayers are with that family. We know that as we continue to increase our testing capacity, we will continue to have an increased number of cases. Actually, I think our number of cases are closer to over 500 right now. They're going to get into the thousands. I want Oklahomans to know that we are not standing by idle. We're working around the clock with our healthcare community, our educational leaders, the public sector, the private sector, the National Guard, and other experts to make sure we minimize the spread and maximize our efforts to fight against this virus. Today, we are taking some more actions to reduce the spread and flatten the curve. We have the graph up here. We're at the very beginning of this curve, and as you can see, if we take no measures at all, the cases will outstrip our capacity in our healthcare system. So this does a couple things. By acting early, we're going to flatten that curve to keep it underneath our healthcare system, and also it gives us time to ramp up and develop the protective equipment and also the additional ventilators, the equipment, the ICU beds, the additional hospital beds that we can flex into. Today, I am issuing a safer at home order, requiring all vulnerable populations to stay at home until April 30th, except for essential travel, such as going to the grocery store or going to the pharmacy. Effective at midnight tonight, I'm issuing an executive order restricting any gatherings of 10 or more people all across our state. You know, the businesses have really done a good job up to this point, but I cannot emphasize enough the need for us to continue with the social distancing and making sure that we don't get in groups of more than 10 or more. That's working from home. That's all the things that our businesses are already starting to innovate and do. We need all Oklahomans to take this really, really seriously. Additionally, I'm taking aggressive action to preserve medical supplies and PPE, the protective equipment that our healthcare workers use, by issuing a 14-day suspension of all elective surgeries, minor medical procedures, and non-emergency dental procedures. To protect our elderly, we're suspending all visitation to nursing homes and long-term care facilities effective immediately and until further notice. Also, I'm ordering the following measures in the 19 counties where we have a confirmed positive case. We've got the county map up there, I believe. So in all the counties, we have 19 counties in Oklahoma right now with a positive case. So in those 19 counties, all non-essential businesses must close by 11:59 tomorrow and remain closed for 21 days. These include businesses with close contact or personal touch, like hair salons, gyms, theaters, massage parlors, tattoo parlors, and we will provide further guidance on that. I encourage restaurants to remain open while offering curbside pickup and delivery. All Oklahomans have a job to do right now. If you're feeling sick or you've been around someone who is sick, please stay home. Isolate yourself. As a community and a state, we must come together in the next few days. I will be announcing a new way Oklahomans can work through my Be a Neighbor initiative to coordinate ways we can serve each other during this difficult time. We've worked very closely with State Superintendent of Schools, Joy Hoffmeister, to find a way to help our students continue learning after April 6th. I want to thank the cafeteria workers, the child nutrition teams, who have been offering grab-and-go meals for students who need them. My governor's Solutions Task Force is still working on a number of things to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 and respond aggressively. I am instructing my team to design and deploy a plan to designate certain hospitals for COVID-19 patients. This will allow us to maximize our resources to protect our healthcare workers and the patients who need them. We will share more about those two hospitals in the coming days. I want to be clear with Oklahomans. I don't make these decisions lightly. I know this affects all 4 million Oklahomans. You know, I'm concerned about the healthcare workers that are on the front line. I'm also concerned about the single mother who is trying to support three children, who works paycheck to paycheck and for no fault of her own is now getting on unemployment. We are going to get through this, Oklahoma. We're going to get through this. We've been in tough times before, and together we're going to come out of this stronger. I'm going to turn it over to Secretary Lockridge to give you an update as well.
Thank you, Governor. As of this advisory, we currently have 109 confirmed positive cases in Oklahoma. We also report one additional death, a woman in her 60s in Cleveland County, bringing the Oklahoma death total to 3 from COVID-19. The number of COVID-19 test results received from private labs has increased in the last 24 hours. Earlier this month, Commissioner Cox designated COVID-19 as a disease immediately reportable to the state upon suspicion, diagnosis, or test. As a consequence, laboratories that fail or refuse to report their findings to the state of Oklahoma may face civil or criminal penalties. Over the past week, the Health Department, joining with other state agencies, has worked to move as much of its workforce as possible to telework. As of Friday, we experienced just over 50% of our workforce working from home. By end of day today, we anticipate that number being at 75%. Currently, we report an average of just over 9 days of personal protective equipment, PPE, on hand. Now, that supply does vary by location, and we're keenly aware that certain areas, particularly our rural hospitals, are experiencing tighter supply. Notably, the agency is working to deliver resources from our strategic national stockpile and have activated a plan in order to do so soon. Now I'd like to turn it over to questions that we can take from the press.
Sean Murphy, go ahead.
Yes, Governor, how would you respond to, well, including some public health officials who say you're not going far enough, that not just 19 counties, but these businesses should be closed statewide, and that in places where there's community spread, people should be ordered to self-quarantine? How would you respond to those critics?
We're following the data, and the 19 counties that we have positive cases, we want to get more restrictive, but the counties that don't, we wanted to focus on the vulnerable population. That was the recommendation of our team of experts here. I agreed with that recommendation. And again, the hope is to protect Oklahomans, to flatten that curve, to give us time to build the hospital, the ICU beds, the PPE. So we're taking what we think is appropriate action at this time and based on the facts that we have and the data in the state of Oklahoma. And Casey, would you add anything to, or Secretary, excuse me, would you add anything to that?
Sure. I believe the actions that the governor is taking is to take into account slowing the transmission, which is what we want to do. Slow the transmission, allow us to ramp up in our testing and to preserve our PPE, as well as giving us the capability in the future to be able to test patients, closely monitor and quarantine the positives, and to be able to follow those like we normally would in an outbreak. So I believe that the governor's initiatives address the heart of what the healthcare community is wanting.
This question is from Carmen Foreman of the Oklahoma. Go ahead.
Hey, Governor. I'm just kind of curious, are you thinking of asking the state legislature for any supplemental appropriations to help pay for PPE or to ramp up hospitals, anything like that?
I'll let the team address the PPE. We feel we've got orders in. We're trying to look at that supply chain. We're also encouraging Oklahomans' manufacturing facilities are doing a great job right now of turning over their factories to address some of the PPE and the supply chain shortage. As far as the legislature's concerned, we are right now they're on recess for this week. When they come back together, we're looking at all of the things we can do to help our frontline employees. I've waived the 1 week requirements to get on unemployment. We've got some reprieve on the tax side, given another 90 days to file tax returns. We have the SBA loan now set up for small business help throughout our state, our federal delegation, and we're really encouraging Congress to get that across the finish line for an additional supplemental for further help to our state. So doing a lot of things to help those workers that are affected. And on the PPE side, anybody want to address that?
Sure.
As we previously shared, we have just over 9 days on hand. Again, that varies, and we have shipments coming in as we speak, both into our state supplies and then also in the normal course of business for our hospitals and other providers. Notably, the private sector is coming into the picture here and is helping. I would give one important example, not specific to PPE, but to the overall effort and to Oklahoma's response. We know it to be the case that as our ICU hospitalizations grow, we will have a strain on our ventilators and their component parts. I learned this morning that one of our Oklahoma City-based companies will be using its 3D printing capability to actually manufacture valves used in our ventilators. I would say that is an example of an Oklahoma company leveraging its capabilities in a time of crisis to help its fellow Oklahomans.
This next question is from Ben Felder with Frontier Med.
You're closing all non-essential business in the 19 counties with positive tests. Will that order expand to additional counties if and when new positive cases appear there?
Yeah, so the question was if we do get positive test cases in other counties outside of the 19 original, the answer is yes. We will let those counties, those municipalities know that that's our directive as well. It will still line up with the 21 days. It's our intent to, when we get to the 21 days, which is going to be April 14th, we're trying to give some certainty around businesses when we're really going to readdress this and look at it, look at the data when we have more testing, more data to share.
Next question is from Aaron Brobeck with News 9. Aaron.
Hi, Governor. Just a quick clarification and a question. The clarification is, Mr. Secretary, you said there were 107 cases, or 109 cases. On the website, it says 106. Which one is it?
It is 109.
It is 109. Okay. And the question, Governor, I had was you received a letter either last night or this morning from a number of medical organizations that are calling for a statewide shutdown. Why not go that route, or what would lead you to go that route?
Yeah, let me let the Dr. Schrum answer that on why the recommendation was what we did.
So as we have been discussing, what we were looking to do is actually provide a specific approach to Oklahoma and looking at where we are in the curve and addressing the counties, and in particular, having 19 counties, and the way that we put these in place, again, we believe allows us to get at the principles of what we were looking for, which is mitigating transmission, allowing us to continue to ramp up our testing capabilities, at the same time expanding our infrastructure and preserving the PPE that will allow our healthcare workers to address the COVID outbreak in a manner that doesn't expand past the capabilities. So we believe that this approach will keep us from having a steep curve that will outpace what our healthcare infrastructure can handle here in Oklahoma. And that's based off of what we're seeing, our data, and the plan that we have moving forward to address the ongoing issues.
This is from Paul with Oklahoma Watch. Paul, go ahead. Paul?
I just wanted to see if there's any more detail on the 2 designated hospitals that you mentioned that will be treating these COVID-19 patients.
Yes, we are early in the planning stages of that, and currently having conversations. But as we get more specific details, we will be rolling out that plan in more specificity.
Trey Savage, go ahead.
Yes, Governor, can you explain a little bit more of the safer home policy? I guess it's sort of a shelter-in-place concept, but can you talk about enforcement? And is the baseline 65? What's the age cutoff there?
You know, it's a safer-at-home policy for our most vulnerable population. So that's designated by the federal government. So we'll release more details around that. But it's compromised immune system. It is an elderly population or an age population. So we'll get some more details to you on that. I'm not worried about Oklahoma's compliant. I mean, we Oklahomans are compliant. They're looking for us to give them the recommendations. And so that's exactly what I'm doing is, listen, till April 30th, our most vulnerable population is safer at home, except getting out to go to the grocery store, pharmacy, essential type excursions. It's safer at home for our elderly population till April 30th. So that's the direction all across the state. Not worried about it. I know Oklahomans are going to comply with that.
Juliet with the Washington Post, please.
Thanks so much. I was wondering, in terms of testing, I was both wondering if you could give an update on that, because my understanding is that there are roughly something like 2,400 tests available, but there are not enough reagents, and therefore tests are going out to Dallas, and there's a delay. And related to that, could you comment on, as I understand it, every member of the state Senate and their staffers were tested. This was over, at this point a week ago, after a state Senate staffer which tested positive, and what that means that obviously those folks, most of which were asymptomatic, got tested at a time when there continues to be a shortage of tests in the state. Thank you.
Yeah, so let me bring up our testing expert.
So we have made significant progress in the last 2 weeks around testing, and I really want to give a shout out to our health department and the OU and OSU communities who have come together to help us leverage their testing capability. So what we've done over the last week and a half in particular is bring together commercial relationships where we can get reagents from outside of just our government allocation and be able to run tests on commercial platforms that we have available in the state to be able to meet the demand that we have. So that's been very exciting, and I think we're poised to be able to respond with the numbers and projections that were being provided.
That was the Deputy Secretary of Science and Innovation, Elizabeth Pollard.
Okay, Governor, this next question is from Barbara Pabarok, and it is, does he support Hoffmeister's decision on distance learning?
The question was, do I support... The question was, do I support Superintendent Hoffmeister on distance learning? And yes, we weren't working together with her. She's done a fantastic job, her team, her staff. We've been working with all the local districts to turn up our distance learning through technology. It was very important for me, as it is the Department of Education, that our kids just learn differently. And that's what I've been telling all businesses and industry. Hey, this may be the new normal for a little bit, so let's be innovative. Let's think of ways to do it. And our schools are going to be prepared on April 6th to offer to continue this school year. It's just going to look a little bit differently, and we're going to utilize technology to get our kids prepared for the next school year.
From Tip. Go ahead.
Okay, Dr. Shrum, can you address the testing? So I know Sunday you said that we will be able to, between OSU and OU's left, test 10,000 people by the end of the week. I know that nationwide there is a shortage of supplies. OU told me on Sunday night that they are hoping to have testing in place by the end of the week. But they are also dealing with that shortage of swabs that we've been hearing about all over the country. So what's a realistic number that Oklahomans can expect by the end of this week in terms of testing? Is it that 10,000 number, or what is a realistic number?
So as I said last week, we have ordered and are anticipating, as Deputy Secretary Pollard indicated, going through commercial routes instead of our federal allocation to procure reagent. And we currently are anticipating receiving 10,000 test kits with the goal of having our labs up and running by the end of the week with the capability of running 2,000 to 2,800 tests per day. We continue to move down that path, and that is our goal. And to date, we continue to stay in line and in step and communicating with our commercial partners to procure the reagents as we were told early this week.
Dylan with KOZO.
Hey, Governor, I had a question for you. With the understanding that this does not affect businesses statewide, it only affects businesses in counties with positive cases, with that understanding, what has changed your mind since, you know, yesterday morning when you said you would let Oklahomans know when it was the time to take statewide action?
Yeah, you know, we've been working on the modeling and the prediction of when we will have a spike that outstrips our capacity in our ICU and our hospital beds and our ventilators and our PPE. And so when I start looking at the numbers and the data and seeing what that looks like in the future, we had to flatten that curve and bend that down to give our healthcare system time to get that up and ramp that up. We needed time to get testing done throughout the state to make sure we can isolate, quarantine, and know where the outbreaks are. And so all that stuff and that data that our team, I'm getting briefed every single day here at the National Guard Center. We've got a great team that's putting that in place. That also changed my mind. But mandating and making sure that the businesses, even if you're outside of these 19 counties, it's really important that Oklahomans understand that we have to continue with the mandate of not getting in groups of more than 10 or more. And businesses are doing a great job at this point. They are letting their employees work from home. We're innovative. Churches are going online. There's all kinds of restaurants doing curbside delivery. So I just want businesses to continue to comply, even if you're out of the 19 counties. We have to keep the social distancing to curb this. We do not want an outbreak in your counties, and that's why it's so important that we continue on this path that we're on.
Can you talk about who the priority is for testing right now? Does that include healthcare workers?
Yes, our priority will be those hospitalized patients and healthcare workers. Again, we want to make sure we're preserving PPE. Part of that is identifying those positive patients or identifying those patients that are negative who are being admitted to the hospital quickly so that we can stop utilizing our PPE. Additionally, we want to make sure that our healthcare professionals are tested so that we know right away positive or negative. We don't want to have to quarantine our healthcare workers, and we also need to know if they're positive so that we can begin to identify contacts there. So those will continue to be our priorities moving forward.
Can you talk about the plan to designate two hospitals and the benefits of that and where we are on that?
Yeah, we're very early in the planning stages and looking at designating two hospitals. We believe that having designated hospitals allows us to make sure that if we have two hospitals, that those patients and those hospitals that have heavy loads can have the ventilators, the PPE, the expertise and the experience in those hospitals to manage those patients efficiently, and that we can provide the support that those hospitals need as a priority.
One point of clarification for the press is we did want to introduce a new member of the Solutions Task Force. Her name is Elizabeth Pollard. She is Deputy Secretary of Science and Innovation, serving alongside Dr. Casey Shrum. We wanted to just stipulate who had joined the team and who speaks authoritatively specifically to the issue of testing.
Yes, Governor, or whoever would be the appropriate person, could you give us a little clarification on what is essential or non-essential? Those sound like specific adjectives. Are we talking, you said grocery stores are essential, are liquor stores non-essential? And then my phone seems to be blowing up with people who want to know about marijuana dispensaries. So if you could discuss that in particular, that would probably ease the minds of some anxiety-ridden folks.
Sure. Well, there's guidance from the White House on what is an essential and a non-essential business. We'll release that to the press, but it's basically 16 categories. It's too long to mention here. But in general terms, a non-essential business would be a social gathering type business. So a bar, the restaurant, even though the restaurants will be open for curbside. In those 19 counties, it's important that the restaurants, their social gathering inside is closed during this time. So gyms, massage parlors, those kind of things, tattoo parlors. A business that has a social gathering would be non-essential in this case. So that's what we're saying in the 19 counties. But we're also telling those businesses that this is a 21-day period. Then we're going to reevaluate. So we're trying to put some certainty around that. And again, we're doing everything we can to help those affected businesses, those affected workers, those Oklahomans that are now out of a job, as we're balancing and we're protecting our health workers, our healthcare professionals that are on the front lines battling this, and the health and lives and safety of Oklahomans is my number one concern.
Yes, I just have a question. I'm not sure for who to answer this. So 3.5 weeks ago, Gary Cox had told us we would be testing 100 people at the Oklahoma lab a shift and as many as 300 a day. As of this morning's numbers, I saw the state lab is showing testing of 53. So when can we expect increased numbers as far as what our lab can process, or is that what the OSU and OU lab is doing? And then also, we've heard from patients here in Oklahoma said that their test results or their test processing had gone to Utah and also California. We were unaware that anything had gone anywhere other than the Dallas area for the test processing. So can you guys let us know, where are all of the tests right now? What states have we utilized, and when can folks that are still waiting test results in those states that were sent to those states, when can they expect their results? Some have been waiting more than a week.
So it's my understanding that we're fairly caught up on outstanding tests at the moment, and that the primary places where testing has happened has been within our health department directly or with a outside Dallas laboratory. Going forward, as mentioned, we're expanding that to also include the OU and OSU campuses that are unable to do that testing. And we feel quite confident that as we start to receive reagents, as Dr. Shrum has already mentioned, that we'll be able to scale appropriately. And so all of that is actively underway, and we feel comfortable that as we start to do more extensive testing, that we'll be able to meet that demand. So I don't know if that fully answers the question, but I think that we're in very good shape as we move forward.
Sean Murphy, Associated Press.
Thanks. One more quick follow-up, Governor. Why are we not hearing from the state epidemiologist at these briefings anymore? And also, I never did hear an answer to the Washington Post question about the Senate staff using up 50 or more state tests.
Sure. So we have the state epidemiologist here, and I'll be happy to bring him to the stage. The question, if I remember correctly, was the Senate, something about the Senate. They were all tested. That is true. There was a Senate staffer that tested positive. The Senate all went into isolated themselves until they could get their tests back. Anybody that was exposed to that staffer, I'm not sure if they've gotten all their tests back. They went to an outside lab. It was sent out. So hospitals have contracts with testing right now. The problem is those outside labs will take sometimes 7 days. That's why it's so critical that Oklahoma gets the testing set up with OU and OSU so we can turn these tests out every single day. So that's what we're really working on. So the Senate is working on that. I don't know where they're at in that process, but they are not in session this week until they find out who is exposed and they're all being tested. So let me turn it over to Secretary Lockridge.
Just a brief point of clarification there. All members of the Senate and staff were screened. Not all were tested.
Carmen, no
problem. Governor, I know you said that you would release details of the proposals later this afternoon. I'm curious, some states are including abortion in elective surgery, definition of elective surgery. So I'm just curious if under your order, abortions will not be allowed.
You know, I have not got into the granular detail of what's an elective surgery, what's not. I'll get with my team and we'll make that decision. The whole goal is to, for the next 14 days, is to elective surgeries, minor procedures, non-emergency dental procedures, just to put on pause for 14 days so we can get our PPE replenished to make sure that we have that for the critical hospitals. So that's the whole goal. We haven't gone into the details yet on what is considered so I'll let maybe the expert, Dr. Schrum, answer that. Or, you know, have you went through the detail yet? Okay, we haven't gone through the detail.
Last question will be from Aaron Robeck, or news.
Governor, it's our understanding that a house LA has tested positive for COVID. Do you have any knowledge of that? Do you have any knowledge of any other staffers also being testing positive?
You know, I have no knowledge of that. I couldn't comment on any specifics of who's tested positive. We've got 109 cases in our state, and but I don't know specifically if there's anybody in the House or the Senate besides the one staffer.
Thank you all.